Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It's that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
Finally, we're joined in the studio by
Des Corkill.
Hello,
hello,
Des.
Hello, welcome to the show. Oh, no, wait, it's not a football show today.
It's not a football show, but my whole reason for coming here is to persuade you non-believers that Malaysian sport and Malaysian football is worth your and BFM's time, because you have got a dreadful, dreadful record in covering local domestic sport. I'm
right
here to try to put that right.
Let's see what
all
we
right
can do about that then. I mean, normally me and you and Adeline are kind of meeting each other as you're on your way out and we're on the way in. So it's nice to actually get you sat down. And I think the last time I saw you outside of here, we were imbibing at the football show thing, weren't we? Right?
At the BFM party,
indeed. We were,
indeed. We were. But even the BFM show, I have to struggle with Ross and the guys to actually say, hey, listen, there was a Malaysia Cup final that took place on Saturday. 5 million people watched it on television. You don't even mention it on your show. It really gets my goat, because football is the go-to sport for local people in Malaysia.
So how long have you been convincing Ross then?
Well, Ross now does a Malaysia football show, but he didn't really buy into it until I came and I kept banging his head
right
against a door. But statistics, ad figures, ratings, people going to matches, it all just points in one direction. Local sport, when it's done right and when it's a big occasion, there is nothing that gets the people of Malaysia going more. People outside of Kuala Lumpur.
What is it about the fact that it takes an Englishman to come here to tell a Malaysian radio station that they're not doing it right?
Yeah.
Forget my nationality. I'm a sports fan. I'm
right
a football fan.
Right, right.
I can see the impact of sport on the local people. One of the things that, one of the lovely things about Malaysia, it's very, very different. You go to Terengganu, it's very different from Kota Bharu, it's very different from Johor. But there's a common theme in all of those places. You go to Kelantan and the passion for football
yeah
is phenomenal. You go to Terengganu, one of the best atmospheres I've ever been to in any game was in Terengganu at the Sultan Mizan Stadium when it reopened.
Really?
You go down to Johor and the Larkin Stadium is just bedlam. Then you come to a Malaysia Cup final, 90,000 people, a riot of colour, the stadium absolutely jam-packed 2 hours before, and Pahang versus Johor before that. When the state teams get together, it is one of the all-time great moments of your life.
Were you surprised when you first came to Malaysia to see how big football was here?
The reason I came to Malaysia was because I knew how big the football was.
Right.
I was brought here. The reason I came over to Southeast Asia was to join ESPN Star, where
right
we had the Premier League and international sports. So I came, and that's all based in Singapore. And I got involved in local football scene in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bit of coaching, a bit of playing. And then one day, a part of my job was to run a news program, a sports news program called Sports Center. Well, that was my job. But I said, we can't just do international sport. We've got to get local.
Mm.
So we did some Singapore stuff, and it's okay. It's nice. I then came up to Malaysia Cup final. Perlis it was, the Malaysia Cup final. I didn't know an awful lot about it. Suddenly, Bukit Jalil, 80,000 people.
Right.
Mm. And I looked up, and Perlis is miles away. Kangar is back of beyond.
Yeah,
and
yeah
all of these people had made this day trip down and day trip back to see Perlis win this trophy. I was hooked. I put a video together on the old ESPN Star. We put it online. It was the most highly rated video of anything. Liverpool, Man United, any Champions League game, anything that we had at ESPN Star, and we had everything regionally. The Perlis Malaysia Cup final win was the biggest rater.
Oh, we've wow got to watch that video then.
All right. We need to take a short break, though, first. 016-201-9000 obviously is a number to remember if you want to win yourself one of these fancy watches made by
Malaya Watches. Now, the question is, the Harimau Malaya, Malaysia's football team, had a name changed. Now, what are they now called? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Don't forget to tell us why you deserve to win those watches.
See, it's lovely having Des here because he knows how to talk. We've had guests here that just don't know how to talk, mate. They just sit
come
there and we're
on
like, please talk. It's nice. It's nice. Anyway, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages. You are listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It's that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Jones.
I'm Des Corkill.
He's with us all the way till 10 p.m. He's not going anywhere. And we're going to be talking about football, local sports, a whole bunch of other stuff. Des, I want to ask you a question first, though. Where do you think this huge passion for football in Malaysia comes from? Because
I'm
not a fan of football. Yeah. I've got to admit, you know, I went to a school where sports was not our thing. It was a grammar school. That's what they pushed for. So sport was never really kind of thrust upon me, right? So I knew it was a big thing in England, obviously. But when I came here, I was so amazed at how big it is here. And I couldn't understand why.
Right, we're going to go into social history and the meaning of what football is and sport around the world.
Right.
I'm from Liverpool.
Yeah.
And Liverpool is famous for this wonderful football club.
Yeah.
They won European championships. They're famous the whole around. It's a billion-dollar franchise.
Right.
It's in the middle of one of the most poverty-stricken areas of Western Europe. Five of the regions of Liverpool are in the top 10 poverty areas of Europe, or they were in 2014. It's improved a little bit. And yet Liverpool has this perception of being a wonderful city. It is.
Yeah.
The city centre's great.
City of culture.
City of culture. You go just down the road, literally half a mile from Anfield, a mile from Anfield. I wouldn't walk down the road there.
Mm.
Unemployment rate's huge. When I left Liverpool, one of the reasons was because there was no work for me.
Right.
So I had to go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of my classmates, maybe 30 in my class, five are still in Liverpool.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So five out of 30. That just shows you that Liverpool, the supposed wonderful, wonderful city, and it is a wonderful city. It's got many great things to offer, but it's poverty-stricken. But it also shows you what sport can do for a city.
Mm-hmm.
This perception of Liverpool. Tourism is now one of the main reasons why people go to Merseyside. Tourism, Liverpool Football Club, Everton Football Club, and the docks and all the other things. But Liverpool Football Club, I think it accounts for 5.8% of the tourism figures who come onto Merseyside. That's a wonderful economic vehicle. So sport is this wonderful, wonderful vehicle. You go around the region. Johor is using sport as a way to attract people into this wider development. The Iskander development is incredible. What's going on in Johor? Everyone used to be terrified of Johor. Certainly, I lived in Singapore and they were terrified of Johor. But everyone used to be. Now it's not. Now Johor is, wow, this is a happening place.
Right.
Also, Kelantan. Nobody would have heard of Kota Bharu without football.
Mm.
That what they've done since, it's only in recent years, the last 10 years or so, that they've come up. Before then, they didn't have a great reputation in the world of football. But now they were playing on an AFC Cup stage.
Mm.
So people as far away as China know where Kota Bharu is, or at least they'll have a little look on the map.
Yeah.
Terengganu similarly. So sport can do these things for a region, for a town. It can give a town identity, and if a town's got identity, its people have got something to latch onto. So a long-winded way of coming around to answer your question, people have got to believe in something, and if sport is one of the things around the world that people can believe in, and in Malaysia they believe in their football teams, I'll use the horrible word franchise, here it's the state government team. They're the so popular things, and it gives people something to believe in.
I think there are things here, and we all know Malaysia it has problems. Like everywhere has problems, right? But I think the one thing that people wanted to get out of sport and out of football was something, like you say, they can latch onto. Do you think that the way it's being managed is the best way of doing things? Do you think? Let's say you had carte blanche. What would you do to make football bigger here and better here and more accessible for people?
One of the comments I have about Malaysian and Southeast Asian football is there's a lack of depth.
Right.
There isn't a Cheras United.
Yeah.
There isn't a Petaling Jaya FC.
Right.
I live in PJ. I'm desperate to go and see a PJ team play in a nice little stadium. It doesn't exist. I've got to go to Selangor, which is okay. But it's difficult to get to. There's no public transport to get there, and it's not my team because I want to go and see PJ. So one of my comments, and you compare it to Japan, you compare it to Korea, you compare it to Germany, to England, is there's a lack of depth. So you've got your top level, your Super League 12 clubs, you've got your Premier League 12 clubs, you've then got an ever-changing cornucopia of players and teams and initials playing in the Premier League below that, mainly teams like AirAsia. why would I support AirAsia?
Right.
Why?
Right.
What reason?
Yeah.
Why would I support? This is the one that does my head in. KL Plus were a professional team. Where what? Is their home? Why would I support a motorway?
Right.
There, so I get it from a company point of view, but from a fan engagement point of view, what the heck am I going to cover for? If there's a PJ United, I'm there.
Right, right.
If there's a Cheras United, well, that's not far away. I'll go.
What about stuff like, you know, Sunday leagues or anything like that? Anything like that?
This is one. When I first came up here, I'm not a bad player. So I was looking to play state level. I was looking to play in the KL League. I looked high. I looked low. I asked people, where are these games? This is KL state level, which it's a level below professionalism.
Mm.
I couldn't find any information anywhere. One newspaper, The Star, would occasionally do some retroactive reporting of what was going on. I wanted to play. I wanted to be involved. I couldn't get involved. There was nowhere. There still is no information. You go onto the FAS website there, or the KLFA website. There's no information. There is football played. There's a couple of facilities just over the road from here where they're playing midnight leagues. They're playing until 2, 3, 4 in the morning.
Right.
So facilities are used. So there is a passion to play. But one of the things I think state governments should do, and their responsibilities, is not so much sponsor Selangor FA for 18 million.
Not just one, yeah.
It's make sure that there are clubs who are sustainable, who can play, and that will breed competition. If you're at the top of a very, very small tree, your level of competition is not going to be great. If that tree has got great roots and you've got to work your way up in a competitive level and be increasingly better. When I played, I reached the level of Welsh League or Scottish League. I could go no higher.
Right.
But here, honestly, you have kids at Bukit Jalil Sports School who at the age of 14 are identified as the next future internationals.
Mm.
And you're expecting to bring 12, 14, 16 of these kids together. You go to Liverpool Football Club, if they get one kid into the first team, that's a massive achievement.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's about, that's the thing I would try to change if I had the opportunity. The depth, the passion is there, the interest is there. But to make it a little bit more local, I think that's when you compare it to the nations who are doing well, Japan, Korea, they've got great depth, Germany and England, definitely. That is the big weakness as far as I see.
Depth.
Depth.
Lack of depth.
Lack of competition.
But where do you see like Malaysian football? Where do we stand right now?
At the moment, 170 odd in the world. And one of the reasons for that is the players are the best in Malaysia. The players playing for the national team, apart from the four from JBT, but that's another story altogether. But the players are the best in Malaysia. I put anybody into playing with them, they will get absolutely battered. Fitness, skill, these are good players. These are good athletes. What happens is that they're suddenly, though, propelled from a level where they can get away with things.
Right.
At a league level, because maybe the pressure's not there or the fitness isn't there. And they're suddenly playing at a level up. And when we go to the Suzuki Cup, an interesting situation will be when they play in the Suzuki Cup. If they were to go and play the Philippines, for example, they'd have to qualify for the semifinals first in Philippines. Philippines have imported a load of guys from Europe. German-born, with Filipino parents, so completely legit, completely straightforward. But physically, they're stronger.
Right.
Mentally, they're stronger because they've played more layers of football.
Yeah.
And that is something that you can't buy. Malaysia are trying to go down that route with quite a few Brits and Aussies who've taken, it's not dual nationality, you can't have that. They've given up their passports. But that's how they're trying to back up the junior Elstils, the Brendan Gans coming in. To increase the physicality, because skill-wise, I tell you, Shafiq Rahim is as good as anyone.
Mm.
Badrul Bakir has got, he can ping a ball 60, 70 metres. So in the region, they're very, very good. I purely go back to my earlier point, because they've been able to achieve so much with so little competition, that holds us back here in Malaysia.
Is there enough kind of push in schools here for football as well?
It starts at the schools. No, there isn't.
Right.
I wouldn't know. I don't know the school system, but I would expect to see every school pitch played on a Saturday or Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I very much doubt it goes on. If not schools, I want to see clubs.
Right, but I mean, that's the sound that of my childhood is growing up and hearing that on the weekend.
Absolutely.
Mm. Right.
But now you hear a lot of, especially expats and locals, they usually play rugby, start from kids, where they have Cobras right now. They have the one we interviewed, ice skater. What else we had?
We've had all kinds of sports here.
But not really football. We we don't really hear much about football.
There's academies. There's some very good academies. For the most part, though, you have to pay for these academies. The people we're looking at, when I grew up, I didn't have to pay to go to an academy.
Right.
And
yeah.
I wouldn't, my folks wouldn't have dreamed of it. They can't
yeah.
go away.
Yeah.
But if you just want somewhere to play. When I was a yeah. kid, I'd play Saturday morning for the school. I'd go to Liverpool on the Saturday afternoon because I could get in for a fiver in those days. I'd play Sunday morning. I'd referee Sunday afternoon to be able to afford all of that. And then I joined a five-a-side league on a Monday night as well.
Yeah.
That was my growing up from the age of 14 to about 18.
Yeah. Mm.
Here, I just don't see the opportunities.
No,
here.
I've not seen it at all.
Yeah.
Not seen it at all. I mean, but that being said, nearby there's a new international school that I've noticed pop up, St. Joseph's I think it is, just up on Jalan Tropicana there. They have what I honestly consider the best football pitch I've ever seen. The amount of money that must have gone into developing that one pitch is, it must be phenomenal. And this kind of leads me on to like my final question before we move on. I was over in Kuantan earlier last year. And we were speaking to the local people there about development of sport in the area. And this was in a very small town, though, to be fair, you know, off the kind of beaten track. And the guy said, well, we've got a new basketball court. Let's go and have a look at it. Mm. Okay, great. It was an outdoor basketball court. The sports ministry have spent ₱1 million getting this basketball court for us. And we went down this little dirt path to go and look at this basketball court. And it was literally a tin roof over a concrete kind of you know, court with very, very cheap kind of baskets thrown together. You know, and I'm stood there and I'm thinking ₱1 million has been spent, in air quotes, on this. You know, this is a discussion that, you know, is happening around all the tables when people are having tea. Where's the rest of the damn money going? You know, and I think we know the answer, but how do we convince people that, you know, I don't know, Des. You know?
There's nothing. I'm not here to talk politics or where,
right.
where money goes to. I just look at the what sport can do for a young lad
yeah.
or a young girl. It brings so many things, teamwork,
yeah.
Physical enjoyment, friends for life.
Right, yeah.
Mm. Plus then competition. And you can gauge where you are at a certain level, be it football or be it basketball. Facilities is a good thing. The fact is there's a basketball there.
Yeah.
The problem for me is that you had to go down a long path to
yeah,
get there.
Yeah. Mm.
If you're in a small village, it should be in the heart of the village.
Right.
It should be the focal point because it's a place of joy. It's a place of passion. It's a place where people can grow and come together and see how their kids are getting on or even have a senior team from that team sharing the facility.
Mm.
So you get a groundsman in who looks after the facility. So I think there's got to be more ownership taken from people, from the
community.
From the community, ownership of this rather than saying, the FAM don't give us the money
right.
to do that.
Mm. Right.
FAM can
instead
only do
blaming
so much.
They should,
instead
yeah,
of blaming,
yeah.
but you kind of understand why they don't if the facility isn't there in the first place.
Mm.
But,
yeah.
But I do believe there's so much opportunity if the mentality is there to make it happen. There's nothing I can do to change the mentality. All I can do is say, listen, this works in Japan. This kind of thing works in England, which you all look to as a place to, isn't England fabulous? Look at their league.
Right.
It's worse than Malaysia because there's no English players
right.
playing in the
league. Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
but the reason that England's done it well, and I use Japan. Mm. They have community teams. Mm. They have school teams. The university leagues in Japan. Wow, their standards are brilliant. Their university team, one university team, just beat the Singapore national team.
Wow.
Three goals to two. Malaysia go there and play. That's the level that they're at the university level. Malaysia can do that. Of course it can.
Of course it can. Yeah. Motivation, right? Right, we need to take a break, don't we? Okay, Des, that was lovely. Thanks for that.
Okay, so passionate.
Very short break, but before we do, a quick reminder, 0162019000. If you want to win yourself a Malaya watch,
yes,
answer this question.
The question is, the Harima Malaya, Malaysia's football team, had a name changed now. What are they called now? Send your name and your IC number to 0162019000. Don't forget to tell us where you deserve to win those Malaya watches.
We'll be right back after these messages. Of course, we've got news from page 2 and Smarty Pants. I know Des is in the car shouting at the answers out in the car. Let's see what it's like when it's for real. Right back, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It's that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Adeline Chu.
Alongside Des Corkhill.
He's with us all the way through until 10 p.m. this evening.
So passionate. You know, he was talking about football. Mm-hmm. But Richard, you don't nuts about football.
What? No, I used to kind of... No, I was never a big fan. All my friends at school...
Sorry, where are you from again?
I'm from Chesterfield.
And?
And I ended up supporting Leeds United for
but
a long
Chesterfield
time.
Have had Gordon Banks, who was born right. there. Peter Shilton was right. born there. Magnificent place.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, come on, Richard. Don't act like you know them.
I did know... I did know them. This was those things that were kind of drilled into you at school. You know, these are the people you should be supporting. Giant Haystacks was nearby
oh,
as well.
Okay, and, alongside Big Daddy,
Big
Shirley
Daddy,
Crabtree.
Shirley Crabtree, all them, yeah.
Wonderful.
In fact, Shirley Crabtree, I believe, owned a pub in my hometown. And
really?
He collected budgerigars as well. So there you go. A little bit of a fact for you.
All right, guys. If you want to stand a chance to win yourself a Malaya Watch, thanks to our friends at Malaya Watches. Now, the question is, the Harimau Malaya, Malaysia's football team, had a name changed. Now, what are they now called? Send your name and your IC number to 016-201-9000. Tell us what is up to win.
All right, moving straight on to news from page two. It sounds like this.
Extra, extra, beat all the fire.
What's all the shouting?
Come on, Des, what do you got?
Well, I thought you'd like an animal story, so I came across this Japanese who has a caiman as a pet, but I didn't think you'd like that too much.
Okay.
There's also a Komodo dragon that invaded a BBC Cameron's room, but I didn't think you'd like that.
Right.
There's a fella in London who dresses up in a white rabbit suit every first of the month, but I think that's a bit too soft and cuddly.
Right, right.
But mine... My story for you, because editorial stuff. It's got to be sport.
Of course.
Now, the Chicago Cubs have just won the World Series, which is baseball's top American or top U.S. Competition for the first time in 108 years.
Was it 1908?
1908,
right.
Yes,
okay.
Good maths. Yeah, good yeah, maths, yeah. Well done. Okay, but they they won it by beating Cleveland Indians. They won it at the bottom of the 10th inning, extra innings. Really passionate. Chicago's productivity, here you go, here's a sports fact. They reckon that the productivity of Chicago will go up by 15 to 20% over the next 6 months.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm.
Because that is what sport does to people.
The afterglow.
Successful. The afterglow. Anyway, my story will bring a tear to your eye. Really
my, me.
Wayne Williams and his dad had a deal that when the Cubs made it to the World Series, they were going to listen to the games together. William's father, also named Wayne, died in 1980.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So what he did was that the son, Wayne, travelled from his home 650 miles away in North Carolina to Indianapolis, his home where he was a kid in Greenwood, Indianapolis, and stood by the grave with the radio on.
That's a beautiful
listen
story.
Listen together.
To Cubs winning.
Oh, that's a sweet story.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
nice,
that's
huh?
beautiful.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's one of those promises you know you're going to keep, right? Yeah.
Sports Illustrated bought that one, and it was sent a chill up my spine.
It's already doing that to me now, yeah. Ironically enough as well, the white rabbit story as well kind of had a bit of a meaning for me as well. All right, Adeline.
No,
oh, no,
you
I'm
going to
go first. Oh, yeah,
I'm
going to go first because she's got a story that's stupid.
Save the best.
Save the last for best. This story first appeared back in 2014, but it's doing the rounds again right now. It's about a guy over in China who... we've all been on the road when some idiot...
Wait, you're having a China story?
It's a China story, yeah. I know, it's a change, right? We've all been on the road when some idiot is driving along towards you and they have full beams on, right?
Oh, I hate it.
I hate it, right. So what the Chinese police have done in Shenzhen, for the time being, is that when somebody's doing that and the police catch them, they sit them on the side of the road, they get them a stool, and they make them sit in front of a car while they switch high beams on. And make them stare into the high beams as some kind of punishment. Now, this whole idea of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, I kind of get it for a little bit, but it's a little bit dangerous, don't we think, right? That guy's got to get back in his car afterwards and drive, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, correct.
A little bit worried about that, right?
A little bit worried.
Yeah?
That's the old spare the rod. Surely there's got to... That's a good thing. Will he do it again? Will I ever do that again? You're not allowed to punish people these days. So
this
is true. Will I turn my beam on again? Yeah, probably will.
Probably will, yeah. Probably will.
Even though if you're going to fine them.
There is a fine afterwards as
well. Oh, there's a fine after?
Yes.
Ah, no then.
They make them sit down, stare at the lights, and then they fine them £30. For doing it.
But they can't see how
but
much they've got in their wallet because they're blind.
No, still, it's bad for your eyes when you're staring at the lights.
That's what
like
I mean.
That.
And then this guy's going to get back in his car and drive off.
Oh, don't be all health and safety on us, Adeline.
Yeah, we live in Malaysia. Health and safety. What's that? What? I saw, funnily enough, speaking about that, I saw some guy the other day up one of the telegraph poles adjusting one of the cables or whatever. No safety nets, no safety straps, nothing. Just
this
up there
Malaysia.
In a pair of flip-flops, no helmet on, adjusting. And I'm like, oh dear, oh dear. if that fella falls, that's it, done. Anyway, happier story.
Happier, mine, well, like you said, mine is a stupid story. It's not that happy. No, well, Des, have you heard of PPAP? To be exact,
it's pineapple. Acronym pen? City again,
apple
is it?
Pen?
Apple pen.
Pen.
Apple
pineapple. Pen. It's one of those. I know it's stuck in your head.
I know. It's pretty stupid. So, but my story is in Japan. Now, the guy who sang that song, pineapple.
Pen, pineapple, apple pen.
Well, thank you. There so you his go. Name is Picotaro. So he's a comedian, actually. So his real name is Kosaka Daimo.
You pronounced it perfectly. Go on.
Thank you. So there's a cafe now. It's called PPAP Cafe in Tokyo.
Are you serious? Oh, they will just jump on any bandwagon, won't they, right now?
Yes, but the thing is, the restaurant itself, they do serve pineapples and other
pens?
Stuff. Well, the best part is, they serve the pineapple and apple. So it's juice, pineapple juice. And the pen, they use a chocolate pen for you to sip the pineapple juice.
Wait, so your entire story is about the fact that the guy who made the stupid song now has a restaurant?
No, he doesn't own the restaurant, but someone came up with it because obviously you're going to jump into the bandwagon. Come on, man. Since the PPAP is still hot, obviously you're going to go in. It's just like Pokemon, Pikachu and all. You know, people will jump and just get those toys and everything.
Pokemon has been around 20 plus years. This guy's been around 2 months.
Yeah, but it sits in your head for quite some time,
for
right?
For some of us, this is like a parallel universe. Mm-hmm. For some of us over the age of 50, this kind of stuff just blows our minds. Nice.
Right. I was so surprised that this song, when I first heard it, I'm like, this is stupid.
I know. It's
and
it's
my
annoying.
69-year-old mother, whilst we were on holiday in Langkawi, was dancing around
in
the bedroom.
Yeah, she's crazy.
She is crazy.
Certifiable,
she is actually certifiable. Yeah.
They even have a PPAP burger. They have a...
What does PPAP stand for?
Pineapple pen, apple pen.
Pen, pineapple,
the pen,
apple
pineapple, apple pen. Jeez, wow,
the
Richie,
story
you know,
right at least.
You know better than me, come on.
Sadly.
No, let me play you this.
Uh-oh. No. Enough. Stop.
Oh, it's
that,
a Gangnam
like.
Style kind of thing, is
right.
it?
Yeah,
that's what it
you
is.
If you see that guy, okay. See, this is the guy.
Yeah, enough. Kill him. Kill him. Turn it off.
It's radio this, not television.
Yeah, turn it off.
Me
turn
seeing it,
off.
It doesn't help the audience.
So they can hear. They can hear. I'm sure most listeners would have watched the video before and would have known. It's on social media everywhere. And apparently Richard knew more than me. And he said that there's a new song, a longer version.
There is a longer version.
Of PPAP. And I didn't know that. I didn't even know they had remix as well.
Some fool had shared it to my timeline.
Some fool?
Yes. Your intern. Anyway, time to move on. We have this little thing that we like to call Smarty Pants.
Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants. Smarty Pants.
Dez, right, I know you like to play this, right?
It's all football questions.
It's not all football questions, no. There's a couple of football questions in there. You know, we've got to cater for the people. Right, Dez, you know the rules. 3 minutes, 30 questions. Answer as many as you can. If you don't know it, say skip. Ready?
Ready.
What was Malaysian football legend Mokhtar Dahari's nickname? Super Mok or Abang Mok?
Super Mok.
How many points are scored for a dropped goal in rugby union? Three
dropped
or four?
Goal is 3 points.
In June 1987, which country introduced a $1 coin nicknamed the Loonie? Canada or Sweden?
Gotta be Sweden.
It's Canada. What does the DC stand for in DC Comics? Detective Comics or Dark Comics?
Ooh, detective.
What is the young of a bobcat called? Kitten or a cub?
Cub.
It's a kitten. The Fountain of Wealth is in which Asian city? Singapore or China?
Singapore.
What colour shirts did the Italian fascists wear under the leadership of Benito Mussolini? Was it black or white?
Black.
Clidro, pipeline and backdoor are terms that are used in which sport? Surfing or skiing?
Clidro, backdoor, surfing.
Correct. Delphinus delphis is the scientific name for which creature, the dolphin or the whale?
Dolphin.
Correct. What nationality is football referee Massimo Busacca? Is he Swiss or Italian?
Busacca. Gotta be Swiss.
Correct. Who directed the Indiana Jones series of films? George Lucas or Steven Spielberg?
It wasn't Spielberg.
It was.
I said Spielberg.
Nice try. During World War II, which spiritual leader addressed letters to Adolf Hitler as my friend, requesting him to stop the war with which Germany had started? Mahatma Gandhi or Joseph Stalin?
Stalin.
It's Gandhi. Can we have please? British comedian, presenter, Scottish... Hang on a minute. Right. English footballer and Scottish comedian...
Skip that question.
We're going to skip that question. Yeah, it's written wrong. According to the proverb, many hands make what?
Light work.
Correct. Rigatoni is what type of foodstuff, rice or pasta?
Pasta.
The La Scala Opera House is in which European city, Milan or Madrid?
Milan.
Who was the first British footballer to play 100 Champions League matches, David Beckham or Steven Gerrard?
Beckham.
Correct. The krone is a monetary unit of which European country, Iceland or Estonia?
The krone.
Which country, Iceland or Estonia?
Iceland or Estonia. Estonia.
Correct. The Mont Blanc Tunnel joins which two countries, Spain and Portugal or Italy and France?
Italy, France.
Which was the first country to issue postage stamps? Was it the US or the UK?
Good question. UK.
Correct. Ranidophobia is the irrational fear of which creatures, frogs or lizards?
Ranidophobia.
Yeah.
R-A-N-I-D.
Correct.
Lizards.
It's frogs. What does son et lumière translate to in English? Sound and light or son and daughter?
Sound and light.
American businesswoman Bobby Brown is famous for which fashion items, clothing or cosmetics?
Oh, do me a favour. Cosmetics.
Correct. Which 1851 novel has the alternative title The Whale? Moby Dick or 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Moby Dick.
Who wrote the political treatise, The Prince, published in 1532? Niccolo Machiavelli or Leonardo da Vinci?
Repeat question.
Who wrote the political treatise, The Prince, published in 1532?
Machiavelli.
Correct. I'll give you two more questions because of our mess up earlier on. In which country is the River Darling? England or Australia?
Australia.
In An Ideal What is an 1895 play by Oscar Wilde. Husband or wife?
An ideal wife.
It's a husband. Des, we're out of time, my friend. We got three questions that we could have got through, but we have to finish there. I might give them to you later on. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back right after these messages. Find out how well Des Corkhill did on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That's tough.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It's that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chung.
With Des Corkhill.
Des, how well do you think you did?
I'm disappointed. I probably had 5 or 6 mistakes. So
well,
20,
you're disappointed
20 plus.
Because Richard messed up?
Hey, I gave him extra questions. Come on.
No. Disappointed with my own answers. A couple of stupid ones there.
Well, you know, we all make mistakes, don't we? Don't we?
I think he did a great job.
I think so, too. Let's go through some of the questions you got wrong first, then.
All right, the first one. In June 1987, which country introduced a $1 coin nicknamed the Loonie? It's Canada. What is the young of a bobcat called? It's Kitten.
Did anyone know that? Did you know that?
I knew that.
Yeah,
okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
Who directed the Indiana Jones series of films is Steven Spielberg.
I loved the way you were so, you know, it's definitely not Steven Spielberg.
I wouldn't know. He did Jaws, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's...
Ranidophobia is the irrational fear of which creatures is frogs. And An Ideal What is an 1895 play by Oscar Wilde.
That's the one
it's
I'm frustrated
husband.
With. Husband. Well, I should know that.
All right, let's have a drum roll then.
Ladies and gentlemen, Des Corkhill scored 20 points.
Good man.
Pretty good.
Are we happy with that?
No, because 26, 27 is right. The target, isn't it? That was the target.
That's the target.
Well, the highest score is 29.
Is it 20? Somebody got
it's 29 now.
Yes.
Yeah, the Sports Bandits boys.
Wow, that's very good.
Just for fun, we've got 3 questions left, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to try these 3 questions?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and so question 28. In the poem Monday's Child, what is Wednesday's child full of? Joy or woe?
Whoa.
Correct. How many people ride each elephant in the game of elephant polo? One or two?
It's single. One.
It's two. In Greek mythology, what is the drink of the gods? Is it nectar or ambrosia?
Nectar.
Correct.
Well,
so
Dan,
you would have got 2 more.
22. You would have got 22.
All right. Still not happy.
Still not happy.
He's aiming for 26.
Of course. We've been doing the same. Right. Throughout the show, we've been asking a question. The question was...
Now, the Harimau Malaya, Malaysia's football team, had a name changed. Now, what are they now called?
I'm horrified to say I don't know.
Harimau Malaysia.
Oh,
that's
okay.
It.
It's not
just
exactly
a slight little change.
Oh, that was the that was the press release not long ago.
Right. So, Des, did you bring along a fact? You didn't have to. I'm just asking, you know, in general. You look at me like I've soiled my pants.
I'll bring you a load of facts and figures about how many people are watching Malaysian sport.
We can do that.
That's the kind of thing. It's one that blows my mind, this one.
Right.
Okay. Astro Arena, which is the reason I came up here, was to help set up a local sports channel in Malay language, operated by locals, celebrating local sportsmen. And we did a reasonable job with that. Our prime product was the Malaysia Super League. We lost the rights to that, sadly. But we're still doing all right. We do hockey. We do a lot of sepak takraw, a lot of badminton, the Purple League coming up, and a little bit of everything else that goes on. But we still do football. So we do the national team. We recently did an under 17 tournament where we had the Bukit Jalil School played Selangor in the final. It was a one-off final, under 17s. There'd been no pre-publicity. We had 800,000 people watching it.
What the heck?
800,000.
The desire, what people want in this country to watch football is phenomenal. We also had 800,000 watching the FAM final, where the Indian team beat who was it? The Perak State Board in the final. Had 800,000 watching that. That's senior. But for an under-17 match.
That's Selangor insane numbers.
Versus Bukit Jalil. We get these routinely. Seven-figure numbers week after week after week after week after week.
Wow. And what's happening with that? Why is there not, you know... I can see why you're so passionate and frustrated at the same time.
I'm frustrated. I think one of the things is because it's not KL,
right?
It's a language thing as well. I suspect it's very much a Malay heartland, which is what Malaysia is. The vast majority is Malay, and so the language. I look at the English language and I don't see an awful lot of coverage. I'm frustrated with the coverage. Mm. For example, the Malaysia Cup in the Malay Mail, as an example, they didn't have a story. They had a big back page spread of it, but there wasn't a story analysing the final of the Malaysia Cup in the Malay Mail, which I find just astonishing.
Yeah.
If that's in England, it fills the full five, six, seven or eight pages back page. If it's in Japan, similarly. So that frustrates me. So I suspect it's a KL thing. And because most editors are in this part of the world, obviously you focus on what's going on in this part of the world. But I don't know, because every statistic, every time since I've been in this part of the world, I came to Singapore in 2000, everything says millions of people want to watch local sport. Yeah. Not want, millions of people are watching local sport. Why can't we really get it the attention that it deserves?
Mm. You blow my mind tonight. Thank you very much for that. Seriously. Right, ladies and gentlemen, of course, we've got to wrap up. We've got a couple of facts ourselves. Adeline, what do you have?
Now, people who frown in photos are five times more likely to get a divorce than those who smile, research says.
Oh, was that kind of fact you were after?
Right. Yours was better, though. Right, mine to wrap up is 5,840 people in the United States have a last name that ends with their first name, with Donald McDonald being the most common.
Splendid.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. It has been that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
And I'm Madeline Chu.
This has been the wonderful Des Clark. He'll say goodnight, sir.
I've enjoyed it absolutely. And don't forget, Malaysian sport is where it is at.
Ladies and gents, that's it. That good time night, of night here on BFM 89.9. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold-cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.